It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being mocked while you drown. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, is empathy dead in America? We'll discuss the filming and ridiculing of a man as he drowns. And some are even happy that our Arizona Senator John McCain has brain cancer. Some people are actually happy about that.
Wow.
I have a new hell gig, and we'll do some scamming scammers. But first, number 45.
Yes.
Donald Trump, making headlines as only he can.
Wow. Yeah.
So he was invited to speak at the Boy Scout Jamboree, and the audience is made up of mostly boys between the ages of 12 and 18. So for the most part, these are minors who cannot vote. And as is usually the case with the president, controversy followed. He has that knack.
Yeah.
But before we get into what happened, I want to go over quickly what the Boy Scouts stand for.
Okay.
Trustworthy.
Nice.
Loyal. Helpful. Friendly. Courteous. Kind. Obedient. Cheerful. Thrifty. Brave. Clean. And reverent. Now, I don't want to go through each one of these characteristics in detail about which ones I think our president has displayed and which ones he hasn't. I don't want to do that. I think he's come up wanting on several of those, and I will leave it there. Other people's mileage may vary. I'm sure Joe thinks, you know, he exhibits most of these quite well.
Okay.
But I don't want to have that argument. The Boy Scouts invite every president. It's what they do.
Yeah.
So it's not whether should they have invited this president or not. That's not even up for discussion.
No. It's just they invite the president of the United States. Fine.
Right. But like I said, now, the question I have to think, would I let my child attend this particular jamboree? I was thinking about that, and I probably would not. And the reason is not politics.
Oh, why?
It's not politics. Oh, well, he's conservative, and I don't lean that way, so I don't want him to hear the president. No, because I think seeing the president's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big deal for anybody, should you get the opportunity.
Yes.
I just think because personally I find him wanting in so many of those particular characteristics, which I admire,
mm-hmm,
in Boy Scouts, where I would personally have my child sit out. Now, I know for Joe that's not a question on that. I mean, if there was a left-leaning president who you found – if Bill Clinton, who some could argue was personally abhorrent, another president who was accused of lying a lot. I'm not going to say Obama because people liked Obama even if they didn't like his politics. Most people thought Obama was a good person. But Bill Clinton certainly had a lot of the personal attacks that Donald Trump has gone through.
Yeah.
So I can ask you, would you want – you have a little kid, Boy Scouts – you don't think Bill Clinton has all the characteristics a Boy Scout has. Would you want him?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Because, you know, you respect the office of the president. Anybody that's become president has made accomplishments that got them to where they are, the drive to get there. And as a Boy Scout, as somebody who was a Boy Scout, you want that drive. Because the thing with the Boy Scouts is, and I'll get this a little further as we progress, you have young people that are coming from the age of going into adolescence, from children to young people.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you perceive the world, you're learning skills and learning to be accountable and learning to push yourself as a young person as you progress in school to college,
mm-hmm,
and on, where things that I have learned in the Scouts I carry to this very day.
Well, I would still argue you're still learning from the Scouts. You're just not attending this one event. But I want to get Pip's answer. That was what I would say to that. You could still be a Boy Scout. You just don't attend this.
It's still the president of the United States.
That's fine. Would you, because I know you're not a fan of President Trump, if you had a little one, would you let them attend?
Before I know what I know now.
You've seen up until this point.
Yeah.
You know the man. You know the characteristics that he has, whether you like him or don't like him. You know what he is.
Right. I would have let them attend.
Okay.
Only because I think that it would be an exciting thing for any child to see the President of the United States.
I agree.
States.
It is very exciting, I would think, yeah. to see the President of
I've
the United
States. I've never had the opportunity to meet a President, but I think
you probably
no matter
will
who,
not.
Who, no, they.
I think they will actually keep all of us at quite the distance.
I'm on the list.
Yes, yes. We're all on the list.
The bad list. And But I think that I would want my child to be able to have that opportunity.
I want now as a public speaker. Joe and I are public speakers. We do this. We are asked, at least I'm asked. Joe might be too, to perform when there's children present.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am asked to perform when there are children present, those under 18.
Right.
I am asked to alter what I will say, how I will deliver it, what will be, and usually it's for the parents. Because, yes. you know, there's the concern, well, I don't want my child exposed to whatever it is going to be.
Right, right.
Whether it's content, language, whatever the heck it is.
It might even go over the children's heads,
it
but
probably
the parents
would.
Don't want them exposed to it.
And therefore, if I were to send my child to see a speaker, because I know I would have the same expectations that, you know, in this case, it would be my expectations would be, well, this is going to be a rah-rah speech, pro-America. Not really. It's going to be a straightforward cheerleading type of speech. There's not going to be much controversy here just because it's children. That
right.
would be my expectation.
You don't expect Puffy the Clown to start whipping out some nasty X-rated rap
just
you
because
know,
it's
at
kids.
The children's party.
Just because it's kids.
Yeah.
Would you say those are fair expectations? Again, I think you performed in front of kids.
Yeah, you tone down what you say in the context of a comic. Okay, but
I'm just talking as a speaker. You're still a speaker.
As a speaker.
Yeah. You and I've seen you work clean to the point where I've gone to Joe. You could have gone a little more. So I know the pains that Joe takes, and this isn't even children. Mm-hmm. But I know the pains that Joe takes to not offend, not push the envelope. I know the difference between Joe's regular set and when there are certain expectations an audience has. I know the pains that he takes.
I've had the same experience, though. I mean, back when I remember playing someplace that was family friendly versus as time went on, my material was getting a little bit more blue, especially when we were playing in bars and that kind of place. But it's like we definitely did some family friendly places and I had to clean it up. Now to do it.
Okay. So before the speech, the Boy Scouts issued this warning on their official blog. Chants of certain phrases heard during the campaign, e.g. build the wall, lock her up, are considered divisive by members of our audience and may cause unnecessary friction. It said that the invitation to Mr. Trump was a longstanding tradition, as I said.
Yes.
They invite every president. Here are a few comments made by the president that caused the controversy. Now, before I say this, he spoke for over 30 minutes.
Okay.
He spoke for over 30 minutes. I know somebody who was there, a scoutmaster there. I know the story coming out is that a lot of people are outraged, and we'll get to that. A lot of people are outraged.
Okay.
But he spoke for over 30 minutes, and from what I'm gathering is parts of the speech, a good part of the speech, was inspirational, appropriate. The crowd liked it.
Mm-hmm.
There was large portions of the speech.
Which I mentioned on my Facebook post.
Right. But before I get into it, you know this and I know this as performers, as speakers.
Mm-hmm.
We do a 45-minute set. We got one joke or 5 minutes that is deemed inappropriate.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother.
And
it doesn't. And
that'll sink you. Oh,
right,
God,
so
yeah.
we agree. And
no,
it
I'm not, yeah.
No, wait, but that's what I'm saying here. So it doesn't matter if we think it's wrong. It's the audience. I mean, you know, Joe and I have had the conversation with Joe, but I just said that.
And which will be the debate later on in this segment.
Right.
The audience. Specific of that. Yes,
yeah,
I got you.
My
yes.
whole thing with this thing is the audience. I don't care what he says. It's you got to know the audience. So I'm glad that so far we're all in the same. There are expectations.
So basically where we're going with this is what he said in context to how the audience expectation of what he said.
Well, what the parents are. It doesn't matter what the kids all want. Right. What the parents. Because
the parents' expectations.
The people that hire you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing. We do a corporate gig, and I'm going to get to it. You do a corporate gig. It doesn't matter what the people who are the welders want. You got to make sure the boss and HR are happy.
Whoever got the checkbook.
Exactly.
What can you say? What you could say anything about who's got the checkbook. He
right.
does. All right, what does he say?
The laughs and applause are irrelevant. I tell people when I am doing these corporate events, the goal is not to offend. I can go to the club to be funny. Tonight I have to be entertaining.
It's like that
yes.
one night when they were working for you when you want that special guest to come up. That was on The Sopranos, and you know,
oh, right.
and it's like, well, and you know, the headliner was upset, and I'm like, you got the checkbook? No, he's got the checkbook. Guess who goes up?
Right. Okay. So yes. here are the few comments that are causing the president's latest controversy. boy, you have a lot of people here. The press will say it's about 200 people. He gets laughs on that. It looks like about 45,000 people. You set a record. He gets applause for that. That's a great honor. Believe me, tonight we put aside all the policy fights in Washington, D.C. I like that. You've been hearing about that with the fake news and all that. Applause. We're going to put that aside. Okay, are we? And instead we're going to talk about success.
Okay, good.
Sounds appropriate, like that. And about how all of you amazing young scouts can achieve your dreams. Hey!
So far, so good.
Sounds good, President Trump. I said, who the hell wants to speak about politics in front of the Boy Scouts? This bit's going to go long, and I'm going to have to edit, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my point on this is, and then you guys can comment, why bring the crowd size controversy into it when it was shown that he was a liar? That controversy made him look bad and got him off to the wrong start. Why bring that into it? Why bring fake news into it?
Yeah,
you just said you're not going to talk politics. I know he hates journalists, or
right,
at least certain journalists,
right?
But most Americans still value them. Even if we're not thrilled with our current media, we still value journalism,
right?
And why hell? It's the Boy Scouts. If you and I had that gig, we're not saying hell.
I would agree with the hell part. I mean, that's the one thing out of the whole Megillah that I'm like, all right, he didn't have to say hell. But you know, with everything else, I mean, you take that with a grain of salt.
I understand, because it's the audience.
It with a grain of salt.
But you and I are disciplined to know, you know, hey, that's going to get us an applause line because people like when we talk about. But you and I are disciplined to know, you know what? It's pushing the line. Let's back away from it.
But it really wasn't pushing the line. You didn't hear it pushing the line. He mentioned it. You know, all right, you take it with a grain of salt.
But he said he wasn't going to be divisive.
Right.
He said he's not going to be divisive. Going to put politics aside, and he goes right into it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Why? You don't have to do that.
Yeah, are these kids your voters?
It could be in the future.
But they're not now. But
they're not now.
But either way, this is, again, my continued argument, the whole thing is going to be, this is not the place for that. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he says at a rally in front of his people. I mean, I might disagree with it. I don't care. Those are his people. He's doing his show. Good for him. This is a different gig.
Yeah, totally different.
All right, he goes on, you know, I go to Washington and I see all these politicians and I see the swamp, and it's not a good place. In fact, today I said we ought to change it from the word swamp to the word cesspool, or perhaps the word sewer, but it's not good. Not good. Okay.
Why are you doing this with kids?
It's not. It's the Boy Scouts, okay? What you're trying to do, but Washington is a swamp, and you're trying to teach a new generation of people to try to be honorable and believe in your country and not be.
But you can do that, because you got to understand.
You were a Boy Scout.
That's irrelevant.
No, it's not a boy. No, it's
neither
not
was
irrelevant.
Donald Trump.
All right, but that's fine.
Neither was Trump.
I was, and I had, and when you were joining,
you
the
do not
Scouts,
live the Boy Scout
but,
way.
But when you were a Boy Scout, you were used to being coddled and your parents, and the Boy Scouts was a place where you started to get the training wheels off in your life.
But this is not about coddling.
It is about coddling.
This is not. I don't have a problem if he said, "Listen, things are not going to be handed to you. You have to work hard. You're not going to be." I have no problem with the president delivering that message. I got no problem whether if I agreed with it or didn't. I got no problem with them. But you guys remember, these are elected officials. Boy Scouts are told to respect the country and all. This is part of our process. I know the president doesn't like a lot of these people. I get that. But these are elected officials. Also, these are fathers and daughters and sons and mothers. This is not the place.
One of the words that jumped out at me from your list of the kinds of expectations of Boy Scouts is obedience. I thought that was a funny word, but it's also it also implies respect for your elders, or respect for the people in charge. And when here's the president saying that government blows to Boy Scouts, it's like, what a message
it's
this is.
It's an anti-American message. I don't know he's trying to be anti-American, but I can see an anti-American
anti-government.
You guys keep going like this, but I'm telling you right now, the faux outrage is
you don't have the right to take away. So it's the same thing. If I accidentally say the word shit at a corporate event, it's not faux outrage. They're outraged. Do I think they should be angry? Not necessarily, but they're angry. The gig's the gig. I screwed up. You know, I know the rules. I know the parameters. It doesn't matter if I think it's faux. Outrage is outrage.
Yeah, if people are upset, you're negating their emotional reaction to something. It's not one of those clutch the pearls moment. Like, I should be upset.
It's been meant to be. It's
no, I don't
meant
think it is.
Feel that way.
I don't think
I,
it is.
I personally
it
do.
It might be by some, but I don't think most people look at it like
from
that.
What I, you know. You know what, though? When I posted what I posted on Facebook, I mean, basically, I was getting attacked by all left-wingers, you know.
No, I attacked you for saying all left-wingers do this when you sit by us and we call out the left when they have when liberal teachers go off and like do all this anti-Trump stuff in school. We've all said, stop it. Don't preach to the kids.
But I didn't say you guys were wrong. But I'm just I said
no. But you said all liberals, and you know you're part of a show that doesn't do that, and you know you would call.
Are you guys liberal? Are you guys?
You would consider us liberal. You would consider us liberal.
I would maybe. You know what? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But what I
would definitely consider her liberal.
But what I'm saying on the liberal side,
I'm liberal. Pinko Kami.
Well, now Pinko can be presidential. So.
Or my room. Ooh, I gotta paint that room. Never mind this segment. Let's start.
I gotta go home and paint.
It's a tribute. And if you saw it, we'd stop the show right now, and you'd help with
it's
the
a tribute to President Putin.
Crap.
let's move on. All right. He says, Secretary Tom Price is also here. Today, Dr. Price still lives the Scout Oath, I like that he brought Boy Scouts with him, by the way. Helping to keep millions of Americans strong and healthy as our Secretary of Health and Human Services. And he's doing a great job. And hopefully he's going to get the votes tomorrow to start our path toward killing this horrible thing known as Obamacare. And that's really hurting us, folks. He got applause of chance in USA on that. He better get them. Oh, he better. Otherwise, I'll say, Tom, you're fired. I'll get somebody. Applause. He better get Senator Capito to vote for. You got to get the other senators to vote for. It's time. And after 7 years of saying repeal and replace Obamacare, we have a chance to now do it. They better do it. Hopefully, they do it. Okay. Now, here's what I would say about that. First, again, politics. He said he wasn't going to talk politics.
Yeah.
He's talking politics. He's going against what he said.
He's going deep.
Right, exactly. Here's the thing about Obamacare. I get people don't like it. And I get for some people, there's justification not to like it.
Yes.
I get that. Obamacare saved many lives. We've had some of those people on our show. I'm guessing some of those scouts know some of those people. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm... So there's no reason to do that for this crowd. These are children.
And he's speaking in such a partisan way.
It's not a partisan crowd.
It's not.
President Trump, I guarantee you, not every Boy Scout has one particular ideology. I guarantee you.
And some of them are too young to have developed their ideologies.
Yeah, it's the wrong...
Doing a stump speech is inappropriate
to
me.
Do it at the rally in Ohio. I got no problem with it.
I have no problem at all with this.
Is it appropriate to be speaking?
Why not?
He's the president of the United States.
Would you want President Hillary Clinton say, President Hillary Clinton speaking to Boy Scouts? You have a Boy Scout there, and she's pushing a very partisan left wing agenda during a jamboree. You wouldn't have a problem with it
because that's her deal.
I would have a problem with it.
I would.
No.
And I voted for her. I would say no. Stop it, Hillary.
Yeah. It's like, why are you doing this to the kids? You know, why are... I'm not saying, oh, the children, but why are you...
But in a way, you are. This isn't romper room he's in front of.
They're 12-year-olds.
They're 12 to 18-year-olds, okay?
So most of them are not old enough to vote. Most of them are kids.
But they are in... Like I said, you weren't a scout. You were starting to learn. You learn about politics. You learn about life. You learn about the country. You learn about
things. I think you learn civics. I don't think they teach you partisanship.
And also, it's living by an oath. Their oath from the Republican Party was to repeal and replace Obamacare. Now, these guys had all these years of complaining and stuff like that, and they get thrown the ball, and they can't figure it out. The scout show, when you have a task, you see a task through. You see it through. He mentioned in this that this guy has a task, and you see it through.
I'm gonna hold you to that, and then we're gonna move on from the healthcare thing. When Donald Trump ran for president, when he was stumping, he said it was gonna repeal and replace. Now it's just repeal that's on the table, and he said it's gonna be cheaper and it's gonna be more readily available. That was his oath to the American public, mm-hmm. which is why a lot of people go, "We're with you." Normally we wouldn't vote this way. We're with you, President Donald Trump. We're gonna support
mm-hmm.
you. He's backed away from that oath, so I'm not going to give you that argument. We're going to move on. We're going to move on, though, because there's more to get through. Let's see. Then he starts talking about this old guy Levitt. I guess Levittown's name?
No, what Levitt was Levitt developed Levittown.
That's what I just said.
Which was the first...
No.
Because I did not say no.
He said no.
I said Levitt... Can I finish, please? Levitt,
no.
I don't want to install myself. I, you know what? I love, I love when this does that.
Even your phone's had enough of you.
It's stalled tonight. No, remind me that. How about get lost? Is there a get lost button on this thing?
Is there a get lost button on you? I'll install it.
What he talked about was William Levitt. William Levitt established Levittown. He established it on Long Island. He also established it in Pennsylvania. What Levittown was the first conceived suburbia right after the war. He was the gentleman that started suburbia.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant, and how he started off was he was on construction sites, and he would clean up debris and all and get these construction sites in order. A big conglomerate couldn't figure it out. Levitt started to make his bones. He started to work, and he started to work hard, and he started to figure it out and make it, you know, and make something
okay.
of himself.
All right, so we got a background on who he is. I don't have a problem with him bringing up Levitt, by the way.
No.
That's not my point. It sounds like an inspirational story.
It was.
Yes.
I don't know. That was not my point. So he says he went out and bought a big yacht, and he had a very interesting life. I won't go any more about that because you're Boy Scouts, so I'm not going to tell you what he did. And the audience boos. Should I tell you? Should I tell you? Audience says yes. Now, Joe, as performers, we know, you know, we're doing that corporate gig. We can turn it around or whatever. We know we can.
Have you ever been around a scout fire? Have you been around a bonfire or a scout camp?
No, you're not letting me talk. What I'm saying is we know we have stuff that can get these people on our side, mm-hmm. that the audience is gonna love. We know we have that. But we also know the person who hired us, the expectations of this is we are not going to talk about that topic tonight. I kind of feel like he's the comic that started down the story or the joke and then goes, I realize, I can't finish that joke. And I've been there.
Yeah, because I'm talking about Coke and Horace, and right. I can't do that at Boy Scout Jamboree.
Right.
Oops.
Right, yeah.
Or can I?
And then he compounds and goes, well, let me ask them. No, it doesn't matter. Don't do that. Just don't tell that part of the story. You can tell about Levitt. Sounds like a great story. But don't tell that part. Leave out all the extracurriculars. That's all I'm saying. Bad judgment.
But this is what goes on at scout campouts.
But not...
This is not a scout campout around the...
It's a jamboree.
It's different.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, around the fire and you have your troop and you're having
when a bunch of the 17-year-olds are talking, fine.
Yeah.
If they're talking about the girl with the big gazumba,
this is what guys talk about.
But not 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds.
Really? Where did you grow up?
No.
Oh God!
How many
you
kids
are
did you
so naive?
No, how many kids did you raise?
I didn't raise any, but I was there at that age as a Boy Scout.
But
that's what they talk about.
Yeah, but what of those virtues that he listed at the front is he espousing by telling these kids that they had yachts and they were chasing broads on them? I mean, what goals are
hell,
in the...
that's what I would go for. That's what. That's the reason.
But that's
I
not the virtues of the scouts. Chasing tail is not in the creed.
But it should be.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but it's not in there. There's no point. There's so much he could work with.
There are so many different topics he could
have expanded on.
People
like Joe believe that President Trump has accomplished a lot of things in life. There's many people that believe that.
What mm-hmm. I believe is I had a scoutmaster, okay, who was a businessman, who reminded me, you know, who was Trump, who instilled in us how to you know, work as adults. Yeah, with dirty stories and the whole like, but he instilled us to, you know, to be, you know, grow up, be men, be accountable. I learned a lot.
I think President Trump could have done all of that.
He did.
Without the dirty stories.
Well, yeah, you don't need the dirty stories for that. You would think there's a wealth of his own personal experience. I mean, he thinks he's the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think he's got a bunch of those stories about how he overcame.
Things he accomplished.
Or his kids overcame. Or people mm-hmm. in his cabinet overcame. Or a constituents overcame. I mean, presidents always do this. I got a letter from such and such. We don't know if that letter's real or not, but both sides of the party, I'll do it. And it sounds fantastic.
No, it always sounds contrived. And like I said, it's my personal fit. The letter always sounds contrived. It always does.
I know what they're going for.
I know, but
people laugh
at
him.
But at least he's being realistic. He's talking like a regular person, even though he's the president. You know, but I mean,
yeah,
he's
the president.
He's
not the guy you bought cigarettes from.
No, but it's still, you know, you get so sick and tired of the same old stuff from the same old stuff.
Again, expectations
that the whole thing is this is a whole new way. Okay, and you're sick of it. I read a letter, and I want to. Who cares?
People,
you're having a guy that's telling a life experience story.
It's not his life experience,
but it is a life experience story about a successful person that dragged himself up from nothing,
and then it ended badly when he lost his momentum.
And momentum is a big thing.
I don't know what momentum means.
No, momentum is this. Let's say you get burned out from this business, what we do. All right? You don't feel like booking gigs. You don't feel like going on the road and stuff like that. You lost your momentum. You got to get your momentum back. To progress, you got to get your momentum. If you lose your momentum with anything, mm-hmm. you can't progress. When I just went through everything I went through, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't lose my momentum because I had the draw. I knew I had a goal. I wanted to get there. I had the momentum. I could have just said, you know, I give up. I can't do this. This is too daunting. The momentum is what keeps you going. The belief.
I'm not saying that's a bad message. I just would have liked to know more about the momentum and less about the chasing tail.
Yeah.
I think momentum's a fine message. I get that. If that's what he thinks, I don't have an issue with that at all.
It's just like, you know what? Your fun Uncle Frank can tell these stories.
Yeah.
I don't want fun Uncle Frank to be the president of the United States. I don't.
Okay. He said we had the best jobs report in 16 years. We didn't. Why bring it up? What's the point?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said the first time.
He said we had the best jobs report in 16 years. Why bring that up?
Are they worried about that now? Yeah, it's strange.
He says, in the Scout Oath, you pledge on your honor and do your best and do your duty to God and your country. Gets applause. And by the way, under the Trump administration, you'll be saying Merry Christmas again when you go shopping. Believe me, Merry Christmas. Applause. They've been downplaying that little beautiful phrase. You're going to be saying Merry Christmas again, folks. Applause. Okay. First, I got to ask, who is they? Who's downplaying the phrase? The only time I ever hear about this is on Fox News.
Okay, a lot of municipalities that if you put up a Christmas tree and you want to call, it's a holiday tree. No, it's a Christmas tree.
Well, hold on, but a municipality is different than a private business.
Yes.
I mean, you know, listen, say Merry Christmas at Macy's, at municipality, don't put up anything.
You should say Merry Christmas anywhere.
I mean, I don't
anywhere.
Have a problem
you
with
don't
it.
Believe in the separation of church and state?
You say Merry Christmas anywhere. You know what? I don't want people to say Happy Hanukkah anymore.
Okay.
I find it offensive. No, you have the freedom to say what you
but
want.
But nobody's
and
taking
you can't
away the
Merry
freedom.
Yes, they are.
Nobody.
Yes.
Who got hauled in jail for a Merry Christmas?
Taking away the freedom. Go anywhere where people are afraid to say Merry Christmas because somebody might be getting offended. I'm sorry. It's a very real thing.
But
it's a thing on Fox News. I don't know anybody else.
No, it's really. It's if you believe.
Do you know anybody else in real life that worries about this? That gets offended when somebody says Merry Christmas or gets offended that they can't say Merry Christmas?
I actually do. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Then they got problems.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm sorry, and Merry Christmas, it's just the start of it. What you could say or what you can't say that people have a problem with. And where does it go? We need to dial it back.
Well, this president's not exactly a fan of free speech.
Yeah,
I think right now we'd like to stifle his attorney general because he's got a lot to say about him. Listen, I understand you like Trump, but let's not make him a champion of free speech. Let's not do that. I'm just saying.
And those pesky journalists.
I'm just saying it's July, and we got Boy Scouts of all different religions. Then we got to be talking about this.
But
now.
Here's some of the things that you say, like the jobs report. Okay, but there were some things that he did mention. The economy is doing great. The stock market has
The stock market. He's right about.
Yes.
He's right. The stock market's doing great. But that was irrelevant when Obama brought up the stock market before. And the economy is essentially the same economy that Obama handed him over.
But with the expectation that the business climate will be better.
And that's starting to ebb now. People are concerned. And regardless, it doesn't matter. Listen, whether it's valid or not, I don't have a problem with it. Just don't say it to the kids. It's the wrong audience. Like I said, you want to do it at your rally. I got no problem with it. I mean, I might not buy it, but who cares? I'm not your audience. Do it for your people. I got no issue with it.
It just all seems strangely self-serving.
Yes.
No, I shouldn't say strangely because he does need his ego stroked constantly. And it's like, it seems like there should have been some way to approach a discussion for young adult men that didn't deal with all of these really rather adult and partisan political topics.
All right, let me give you some of the feedback from somebody who was there. She was a scoutmaster. I don't know if she's pro or anti-Trump. I don't know, honestly.
Okay.
POTUS visit to Jambo. The Washington Post and CNN reports about it are crap. In my opinion, it was a good speech, funny, engaging, and my scouts were inspired. It was worth the long wait. She then goes on to say, we found the CNN and Washington Post stories to be very slanted and not accurate of the reality.
Okay.
Did he get off topic and throw in some political BS? Yes. Did he inspire and have nearly 30,000 people cheering? Yes. Did parents get mad? Yes. So she's making my point.
It's all of it.
Yeah. He could. It probably was slant. That's probably what's being reported. I don't dispute that.
Right.
But he could have had everybody on his side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a part of him that knows that, and he wants to make news. I think that's why he did it. I mean, it's either he can't help himself or he's doing it on purpose, because he could have gotten all those people cheering him with the positive message that appears to have been a large portion of the speech. He seems to have been on point with a lot of it.
It was a large portion of the speech.
But as we talked about earlier, we know when we do the set, 45 minutes are great, but 5 minutes they don't like, that's what you get remembered by.
You know what?
We know that.
I mean, it's so slanted against him.
I don't think we've presented it in a slanted way.
Well, we haven't. But when I went to, basically the backstory of this is you emailed us this morning and wanted to do the story. I'm like, let's keep the old story. Then I go, let me take a look, because you were busy with something. So I took a look and I started to see all the hoopla. So I go on to start to do my research and I watched the video. I had the luxury, I'm at the day program. I'm working on some stuff. So I
didn't have time to remove a no, but you had time for that. I see what you did.
But I listened to the whole thing because I want to hear. I don't want to get excerpts of it. I want to hear the whole thing.
Right. That's good. But you know from the Booker, again, I'm going to bring this back to our world. You know, most times the Booker is not going to watch the whole thing. It's just the report to get back.
I understand that. But what I found from listening to it was so slanted against what he had to say.
Well, they put up the highlights. They put up the controversial stuff.
But then I went on there, and then I posted what I posted on Facebook, and boy, oh boy, did they come a running after me. But there was some crazy stuff posted, so much so that my friend Lenore called me and goes, I saw what you said. Why don't you take that down? You're getting a lot of heat. I go, no, because I firmly
believe. He's promoting a show, stupid.
Yeah, well, I firmly believe that, in what I'm saying on this show right now, I firmly believe that it was an inspirational speech and he made points along the scout. And as somebody that had a scoutmaster who was a businessman who taught all of us how to be respectful in business, how to conduct business, so much so that, I'm a bit, one of my close friends in business is one of the biggest paving contractor on Long Island and a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. And it was built, and my other buddies, in business, and all of that was built on the business acumen and the same things that he taught us, which I feel Trump was instilling today.
Here's the thing, and then I'm going to give you some of the reaction, then we're going to end this segment. Trump didn't even follow the standards he set for himself of the speech. Forget about expectations of a parent or expectations of a child. He didn't even follow what he laid out for himself. He said he's not going to make it political. He didn't have to make it political. He could have. And again, I think he's a very self-destructive, very narcissistic guy. This could have been because if he just gives a normal speech, inspiring, talk about momentum, talk about his personal life, it gets a brief little snippet on the news. That's it. President Trump spoke at the Jamboree, well attended, everybody like, that's the end, we're moving on to the next controversy, what else is going on?
Yeah.
He does this, he's in the news cycle again.
He has a pathological need for attention.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the problem. It's like, it's disturbing. All right, well, here's some more of the reaction. This was actually from a friend on Joe's page that is a mom of two former scouts. She said, his speech sucked, and once again, he's all about making himself look good and the opposition, ex-president, all Dems look bad, with two scouts that had liberal leanings, which the scouts actually teach. I don't know if that's really true. We would have been very disappointed. I don't really think of the scouts as liberal, but okay.
Not really.
Maybe decent in a lot of cases, but I don't think decency is a liberal or conservative thing.
No, it's not.
At least I hope it's not.
Oh, God, I hope not.
We would have been very disappointed had we been at this jamboree. He's such a bad example of a leader. He needs to stick to a written speech. Yeah, I think his aides and supporters, most of his supporters, would
pray for that.
written by someone else, yeah.
Yes.
Because he obviously was never a Boy Scout, signed previous Boy Scouts of America model too. These I'm going to read some that are condemning him and some that support him.
Okay.
Jude Nevins Cleaver wrote, I am the proud mother of a former scout who was sheltered from that pack of lies speech at the Jamboree, done with scouts after you felt the need to have my kid listen to a liar stroke his ego on our time. Debbie S. Milligan writes, wow, this is what you are teaching the Boy Scouts, to be disrespectful to a past president, when he brought up Obama never attending, one that has been a Boy Scout, unlike the current president, completely disrespectful. At Boy Scouts, Trump's speech violated your own policy. My son didn't join the Scouts to be used as POTUS's political prop. Okay. As a Scout leader, my stomach is in knots with what Trump did today. If you haven't watched it yet, it's downright icky. And in support of it, 40,000 strong U.S. Boy Scouts of America shout, we love Trump. We love Trump at Jamboree. Thanks. Thank God we now have at POTUS who loves our country. All right, there was more, but I wish
there was a post. He may even be listening. A friend of mine, Lowell, who was in the troop with me.
Okay.
Who was a senior patrol leader. I think he posted something on our show, but I wish he could call in or
post. Here's the point.
He was there, you know, and he knows as well what an inspiration something like that is.
I'm going to bring it back to our world again. You know the gig. Just do the gig. Don't make it controversial. This type of speech should not be something controversial. I get that people hated it. I get that people loved it. Do I think it's the end of the world?
No.
I don't.
A lot of people are carrying on like it is.
I can't fix them. The right does it too. The left does. I can't fix the crazies.
Well, get out there.
I'm trying. I'm doing this show, aren't I? I'm doing this show with you.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. I can only do so much. I try to get your nuts to listen. I try to get my nuts to listen. What do you want me to tell you?
Oh, one of our nuts, because we share them both. The comic called me a Nazi.
I saw.
He's got to relax.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, you are, but not for this.
No.
that's the part of the hyperbole. That discredit.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know,
at least acknowledge that.
Of course.
Right. Okay.
Of course. But I don't tread in that. That's why I got so upset with your post, because you got two people who I think are fairly rational, and you just made that blanket statement like they were all like that person.
I didn't lump you in with that.
Right. But you're like the liberals, and I know you look at us as liberals, so... That's what I'm.
You're assuming, but it's the generalization.
Why wouldn't you put some?
The generalization.
Why wouldn't you just put some? Because when I talk about conservatives, I always put some conservatives because I don't want to lump everybody in it. That was my beef with it.
Right.
That was my beef.
That's fair enough. All right.
So listen, I don't think this is the end of the world. I just think there's something wrong with this guy because he could have knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have gotten the headlines. He did show up. President Obama didn't show up. I don't know why Obama didn't. Listen, Trump's the first president who turned down the NAACP in two decades. I don't know why Trump did it.
Yeah, who knows?
It's really irrelevant to me. You show up, you do the speech. It sounds like there was lots of that speech that everybody of all political persuasions would have appreciated. It sounds like he had the nuts and bolts to really deliver what we would expect with his own Trumpian twist.
Sure.
Which is fine. I don't need him to be bland.
Right.
There's no reason not to follow the standards that he set. That's my problem with it.
He can't help it.
And that's my concern.
Yeah, that bothers me a lot. By the way, there's a big red T on your hat. I keep looking at it and thinking Trump. I have no idea what team that's for. But
Trump. All right, let's take a long-needed break.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
We are back. Thank you for hanging out with us. I had a little bit of a hell gig. We're going to skip the empathy this week. We'll do empathy.
Because they skipped it at your gig?
They did. No, well, I mean, it's a good story. Now it's topical, but the Trump stuff was just a lot. That's only the president.
Yeah.
Why should our show be different than every other show?
Right.
Trump monopolizes. So we'll hopefully do that next week. All right. Here we go. Hell gigs. See if this works.
Welcome to Hell Gigs.
Okay, so I got a gig in Connecticut. It's supposed to start at 9. I get there around 7:30. I see a few people on their table. What looks like some elaborate Tex-Mex appetizers, but I don't really recognize them.
Private gig or club gig?
Club gig. Bar gig. First show they're doing. First show they've ever done.
Oh, cool.
We'll be performing on a landing on top of some stairs.
What?
Yeah. We're hoping for a crowd. There are no flyers in the place indicating that.
I would take the landing, hoping for a crowd. One of the worst phrases. We're hoping for a crowd.
Yes.
We're hoping to win a lottery.
Yes, yes.
Let's see what comes sooner.
Really?
There is a mention of the comedy show in chalk on the front.
It was a mention. There's a hint.
A hint. There's no flyers in the joint.
Why would they?
Oh, God.
At 9:20, the show's supposed to start at 9. At 9:20, my feature walks in.
Oh, no.
Boy, this has got all the trimmings.
Yeah.
This has got all the trimmings.
He didn't call ahead. He was having train troubles. I don't know. We agree we'll do a shortened set. Because I'm talking to the owner, And he's like, you guys get paid regardless, don't you? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, and I felt bad for him. Like, we'll do a short instead.
Oh, 20 and 20.
I said 15 and 20. Yeah, one
yeah,
of those.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Of what this could have been, you know, you, but. You
but
know.
You're relieved when you do 20, 15. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. I know. I know. It's like I'm dragging out 45 minutes for people looking
right,
at me.
Right,
like
right, right. Oh,
me?
That's the best. Oh. When you have to do that, that's the best. So, you know what? 15, 25,
it's like,
and we'll get
deal.
Out of here. Yeah,
deal.
Right on.
So one of the bartenders gets a couple of her friends to come. Also, a table of four arrives. So we start at 10.
Oh, my God.
I bring up the feature, and he performs on top of the stairs into a small sound system that sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Great.
He's getting a few laughs, but it's really hard to hear him. He does about 30.
Oh, no, no.
He's, oh, do I got more time? Like, I got to wrap it up. Let's go.
Wrap
step
it up.
I am less.
Oh, 30. Way. Finding yourself as an artist, are you?
Yeah.
On a stairwell. Get off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
He does not have my intro or my name because he never asked.
Oh, no.
But at this point, do you really want them to know who you are?
And that's what I tell him. I go, forget it.
Wait, let's
not
get this anonymous.
Exactly. As he gets off, the table of four leave.
Oh, ringer.
I have even less people to perform to. I decide I'm not going to use that Texas Instrument sound system that I've been provided, nor perform on the platform. I'm just going to talk next to the bar.
Yepper. Yepper.
So the feature is now talking to one of the girls the bartender brought. And I am calling him. I'm like, really? Really? You're talking about this? You're going to talk now during this? Who are you?
Yeah.
I am not happy with this.
Yeah, you're going to smooch with chicks while I'm trying to do my set in front of eight people? Really?
Yeah, thanks.
If we're so lucky.
Yeah. 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 Dream gig, eh? All
right. He's got a quarter of the audience.
Yeah. So now the bar back wants to chat with me. I'm like, well, I'm kind of busy.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a set.
He's like, can I tell you a story? I'm like, well, that's not really a great time.
Yeah, really.
Kill some time off of your set. Yeah, well, he got the mic.
Well, I kind of said that, too. And then I said, so, bar back, I'm going to blank on your back.
Oh, boy.
Because now I'm attacking him.
Right, of course.
I'm like, how many times were you left behind in school? I said, how many times were you left behind in school? You're not getting it. The answer's two. He was left behind twice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and you know what? At this point, when he goes on a bar, it's everybody's fault now.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody's
yes.
paying for this.
Oh, dearly.
Yes. He's getting ready to go to some Baptist college to study plumbing. I didn't even know you needed a college degree to study plumbing. I thought you went to a trade
or religion.
Yeah, really.
Well, maybe you want to say something before you stick your hand down. That
yeah, right. We're gonna baptize you, but first of all, we gotta get the pipes running. Gotta fix this valve.
I'm talking to some other guy who's behind me, and he does plant shows.
Behind you?
Yes. Well, because I'm facing the bar back. And
I
he's,
gotcha.
Oh boy.
He's like, I do plant shows. I'm like, weed? He's like, well, not in this state, but others. He does succulent plant shows. At that point, I'm thinking, thank God Pip doesn't have to do a reframe show. He tells me he outdraws comedy. I have no argument.
What are you going to say?
Exactly.
What are you, I'm on a stairwell in front of five people.
Exactly.
You and your dumb plants, could I open?
It turns out the plant show was earlier tonight. Those plates that I saw that I thought were appetizers? They were his plants.
Oh, no. No.
You didn't eat the first act, did you?
But, you know, I got them laughing. The owner loved them. I gave him some advice how to do it better. So as I'm leaving, he told me this story. I don't know what that is. As I'm leaving, I talk to the bar back. So he tells me this story. And he says, oh, he wasn't supposed to be born.
What?
His mother used protection that is 99.9% effective. And he's the point one that survived.
Oh.
So that explains why he is dippity-doo. And that is my
man.
Hell gig. Scamming Scammers coming up.
This is Davin's Den.
Is Davin's Den.
All right, let's do some Scamming Scammers. Let me find my intro music for that. Don't worry, you guys don't talk. I'll be fine.
I don't know how long. I don't know. I figured you would bring it right up.
I found it. Never mind.
I know.
Sorry, crystal balls in the shop.
It's your fault.
Welcome to Davin's Den Scams the Scammers.
forgot about that one.
So did I. Yeah. When did I do that? So busy I've been.
I don't think I ever remember hearing that.
Yeah, you know, I did it. I'm like, well, yeah.
We just, you did it. That's even worse.
We just gave you a bumper deep cut.
Thank you. So good, the artist doesn't even remember doing it.
It's like, was that a B-side?
I guess it was a drunk cut. I don't know.
I guess.
Let's continue with our Dear Jane, shall we?
Mm. Excellent.
April 6, 2017, at 5:35 in the morning, she says hi. At 6:35 in the morning, she says, good morning. How was your night, dear? The agents just sent the moneygram into your mail. Thanks. Remember, she thinks that she's going to be getting money. So.
Oh, yeah.
Tee hee.
9:15 a.m. Did you see it? 11:42 a.m. Here is the name. Ojo Olawatayan Stella Country Nigeria Lagos Zip Code 234. Sounds like my Goyo.
Esquire.
Yes, yes.
No, that's Mr. Danish.
Mr. Danish, Esquire.
At 2:01, I finally write back to her. You can tell I'm not in a hurry to talk to her.
I know.
I go, who's Posey Perry? She goes, the school agent will pick the money. Because I guess that was the name, like part of the name in there. I go, who is Ojo Stella? She goes, one of the... Could be Ojo.
I know.
Ojo Stella.
Ojo Stella. She goes, one of the school agents. What are you doing now? There are many agents in the school with different jobs. I go, preparing for a deposition. She goes, okay, are you on your way to the bank or Walmart? I go, do you know what preparing a deposition means?
No, nor does she care.
No. She goes, why not? I know, of course, but tell me what you are to do now. I go, I don't think you know. She goes, okay, tell me. I go, why would you lie and say you knew? Uh-oh.
Because all I care about is you getting your ass to
yes,
Walmart.
Yes, but fake Davin's in one of his moods.
Yeah.
It's time to play Grill the Scammer.
Grill
right. Right, not in a business.
we need a bumper that's Grill the Scammer.
Almost like you're talking about golf, how you been. All right, yeah. Not in a business.
She goes, deposition mean the act or an instance of deposing. I go, and now you can Google depose. I go, why did you lie? I would have told you. She goes, I'm sorry. So where are you now? I go, sorry. I need to think about things. If you would lie over something so trivial, who knows what else you would lie about?
The sky's the limit.
Exactly. Or at least the bank account is.
Funny.
You told me to trust you. You have deeply wounded me with such a stupid lie. She goes, OMG, I'm worried. I don't understand a deposit is to pay money in a bank or store. I go, no, you lied. I can't forgive that.
Uh-oh, I have a feeling that the funds will become unavailable.
She goes, so what will happen now? I go, I don't know. I can't believe you would be so duplicitous. Duplicitous, that's the word. So duplicitous.
Yes.
Thank God I've not gone to Walmart yet. So glad I found out now.
Oh, no. She's like, no.
She goes, I know what deposition means, but I was worried. Understand me. That what? What do you mean? I go, now you're just begging so you'll do anything to fool me. I can't trust you. I can't trust at this moment.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think I'm real, being reasonable.
I think you are, but she's like, ah!
She goes, why can't you just believe me? I never lied to you, but you just changed every plan within some seconds. I defined deposition for you, but you thought I went to Google to search. Okay, how can I search without internet? You won't listen to me. Trust me, I can never lie to you.
Really?
Oh, really?
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 I go, you did lie. Now you won't even admit it. What type of person are you? And then I give her a little broken heart emoji.
Oh, I'm a broken hearted person.
Uh-oh.
She goes, I was just trying to shot the discussion about the deposition.
You were trying to shot the discussion?
She's pro-gun. I don't know. She was just trying to shot the discussion about the deposition. And I want to assure myself that was why I said, I'm sorry, but you won't listen and get me care. I go, why couldn't I just send the money to Jane Ferkel? That's her name.
Oh, yeah. Why does it have to go through 13 different people?
Exactly. She goes, listen to me, and let us settle this. You got angry just because of deposition. I go, angry? I go, dear, are you learning English from the baboons again?
Oh, man! Oh, yes.
She goes, I told you I can't go to the bank because of security reasons. I go, you can still have money sent in your name. She goes, it will be dangerous for my life. Please send by the agent's name. I go, it is not dangerous to send money in your name. I think you foolish me.
We'll
continue.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
We are back. Jane is having problems getting the money from me.
I don't know why.
I am angry because she lied about knowing the meaning of deposition.
You're so capricious.
And now I've accused her of trying to foolish me, which longtime fans will know exactly what that's
about. Yes.
So she goes, I was warned not to do so, dear. I am not lying to you, dear. I go, then they are giving you bad advice. It needs to be in your name, Jane.
Yeah.
She goes, okay, send it by my name then. Send it to Jane Ferrycloth. Where are you now? So I don't. I guess maybe she knows somebody. I don't know how that would work.
How is she going to be able to pick it up if that's not really her name or somebody's
name?
But
we know Western Union has had legal problems and lost a lawsuit.
Oh, yes.
Because they're allowing that type of shenanigans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah.
It's possible. I go, I'm home. She goes, when are you going to Walmart? I go, what city are you in? She goes, Ikeja. I go, okay. She goes, when are you going to the bank, and what's the time now?
Holy mackerel.
I know, really. Locked on.
Slow down.
She is going fast. I might have to slow this down.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'll be able to.
I think so.
Okay, let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Oh, you'll have some roadblocks.
I go, and you want this sent via Pony Express, correct?
Here's the first one.
Oh, no. All of a sudden having a fundamental misunderstanding of how this works.
That's a great line. If you have apparently you're having a fundamental misunderstanding on how
this works.
She
gave me McThomas's accent, too.
Yeah, right.
She goes, what's Pony Express? I go, the method of delivery, of course. She goes, MoneyGram. I go, Golden Grams?
Second roadblock.
Yeah, now he's having just a mental breakdown.
Ooh,
she goes, no, MoneyGram is available here. I go, no, that won't do. You must insist on Golden Grams.
Oh, those Golden Grams. Oh, those Golden Grams. Golden honey, just a touch. Grams of golden.
Oh, you know, they're cool. You know the rest of the tune had to drop out. Yeah.
It's important to me to know these things.
Yeah, we
apparently.
Know you, guys
you know,
know,
usually if you're in the tune, you don't know the rest, but you just go hit A. Just like whoever knows Finn, just hit A.
Yes.
Just go to Fragile Sky. Just go to D.
No, just
stay
go
on
to T. Until
the tune's over. Everything's based there.
She goes, send it through MoneyGram. I go, who is the damn lawyer here, Jane? You or me?
Yeah. Who's the boss here? See.
The answer is neither.
No.
She goes, MoneyGram is only available here. They don't have GoldenGram. I go, of course they do.
Yeah, they don't have GoldenGram. Yes, they do. They're little bears.
They go to the supermarket. There they are.
They even have, six in a they have cinnamon and chocolate ones, too.
Do they?
They do, Joe.
Yes.
Your diabetes welcomes you.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Ridiculous.
I go, of course they do. I've used it before. She goes, try to understand me. I'm not insisting, but Golden Graham is not available.
Yes, it is. Get some 2% and enjoy.
I go, are you calling me a liar?
Uh-oh.
She goes, please send it through MoneyGram. That's how things can be easy for me. I never said so I can never call you a liar. I go, Golden Graham's is more secure.
Golden Graham's.
If you refuse, then I don't think I can send the money.
Oh, my God. Well, you send it by little bears. Little crunchy, delicious bears.
I'm just trying to deliver, Pip.
I know.
Cinnamon, golden crunchy.
She goes, I don't know anything about Golden Graham. Please try to understand, dear.
I'm trying to learn you, lady.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Why are you treating me like this?
Because it's breakfast.
Because we're hungry.
She goes, I'm trying to help, but you are impossible. Hold on. Rock and Roll Mercenaries by Meatloaf is on. Great tune.
Oh, my God.
Always time for a tune.
Yes, always time to be obsessed. Take it from one who knows.
Exactly. She goes, it's not that impossible, but the country made me. She goes, shh, after the song, babe.
You're shushing a scream.
A tune comes on once in a while.
Stop writing. I'm listening to something.
She goes, I don't think you care about me. You just took me useless, giving me all the stress before you send me $200. I go, holy effing S-balls. You are so freaking rude. Ugh.
Meatball is singing. Meatball. Did I just say meatball?
She goes, I'm not, but you made me to. I go, the song. Ugh, you ruined everything.
Can't let a tune play?
Yeah, really.
I don't think I'm in the wrong kids.
No.
Tune comes on, you want to hear it.
Please, if it was Winwood, I'd be shushing the hell out of her.
Exactly. She goes, what do you mean? What's Golden Graham? I go, did I not ask you to wait until Rock and Roll Mercenaries
was done?
She goes, okay, I'll be waiting for you, and then will you be back? I go, I don't know.
I have a question.
Yes.
Ace Frehley, right?
No, right, Meatloaf.
Oh, there was Meatloaf too?
No. Yes, but Rock and Roll Soldier.
Okay, he's Ace. Okay. Thank you.
Or Meatball is the
no,
way.
No, I'm a Meatloaf kind of guy. At least, okay. At least this version of
I
Fake
forgot
Avenue.
The Ace version. If Johnny Race was here, he'd slap my face. All right.
Yeah. She goes, oh, okay, I'll be waiting for you. And when will you be back? I go, I don't know. You ruined it for me. So freaking upset.
She ruined Zabo.
She goes, I'm sorry. I never meant to act like that, but I was stressed. I go, just leave me be for now. Between the lie and you ruining the song, it's been an awful day.
Refusing to use Golden Grahams? It's impossible.
She had no idea what she was stepping into with this.
They never do.
No.
They never
oh,
do.
Oh, no. She never saw this coming. No way.
It's like, great, great.
Uh-uh.
I get all these lonely, pathetic slobs. All everybody around me gets all the lonely, pathetic slobs. I get this nutball.
But I've had to raise the game quickly because
yes.
She's in a hurry.
Yeah, big hurry.
I go, I love you madly, but I need to be alone right now. She goes, so that's going to happen now? You took all wrong because you never listened to me? I go, you just don't know when to leave your man, do you?
Oh, my God. She's like, so that's going to happen now? Now you're going to go off in the corner and sob? I need $200.
She goes, things would have been fine. Of course I know. I go, yeah, if you didn't lie and let me listen to one goddamn song. Why would you want to date me? I mean,
not fake Davin. No, he's a nut.
She goes, okay, do your choices. Now it's yours. I go, yes, it is. Now I need to think and calm down. Good night, my queen.
She left that on a good note.
Oh, man, I would have jumped off of this train a long time ago.
I go, I will be waiting for you. And I send her a heart. She goes, when will you go to the bank? I love you. Tell me now. I go, holy crap, always the money. Can't we just have one damn moment? And I think we'll leave it there. Pens, please.
Oh, man. We have a plethora of pens tonight.
Happy with tonight's performance?
Yes.
Yes, very good.
Yes.
Golden Grahams. How funny is that?
Golden Grahams.
All right. Joseph, where will you be?
Ben will be at KJ Farrell's on Friday, August 5th. Will be my band, Sexy Susan. Also, my other band, Rotgut. And will be Joe Cumier with his Legends of Guitar. So KJ Farrell's, Belmore, New York. Go to kjfarrells.com for all information. And I will also on today will be at Governor's Comedy Club in Levittown, New York.
Hey, guys, there's a lot that did not make the cut of this version of the show. So listen to the full show if you're listening on our syndicator. If you're listening on download, you got the whole thing. A lot of stuff, a lot of good conversation. Thank you guys for hanging out. As always, like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. Follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.